Welcome to Today with Marilyn and Sarah. I'm so honored that you're joining us today. We're going to have an amazing time talking about one of my favorite subjects, angels. I know, it's kind of cool, kind of different. The Bible's full of angels, but we're really going to look at one of my grandmother's classic teachings and look at what Scripture says about angels and how you can see angelic presence and intervention in your everyday life. If you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer to receive healing in your body, to receive protection maybe, there's fear in your heart, please call or go on the website. We want to pray with you that you would experience freedom and breakthrough in your everyday life. And while you're there, make sure you get your copy of today's teaching notes. This is a free downloadable copy. You can get it at our website or you can scan the QR code, and these teaching notes will help you keep track of Mimi's teaching. Now, this is of course a very classic teaching from back in the day where she talks about angels. Make sure you write down your questions because there's 100 different ways that we can look at angelic presence, but this is a very helpful teaching that will help you to understand what it looks like in your everyday life. Are there angels around you at all times? Where do they come from? Who commands them? These are all important questions, and you will get those answers in today's teaching. Let's go back in our time machine and look at my grandmother's teaching.
Sometimes we need to get our real basis for angels in the Word of God because, people can get spooky or flaky. Did you ever hear of anyone who prayed to angels? Say yuck three times. Yuck, yuck, yuck. We never pray to angels, and angels have a purpose. God has a plan for them in our lives. And if you look right at the top of your sheet, you will see that God tells us very clearly in Hebrews that are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? So angels have a purpose. What is their purpose? To minister to us, because we are inheritors of salvation. So put your hand on your heart, so I won't forget. Angels are made, sent to minister to me. So they are to help us, and they're to help us in all kinds of occasions and circumstances. Then there's another scripture under this first point that sometimes angels look like very ordinary people. I think sometimes we think, oh, angels, you know, they're going to have pink wings and they're going to smile a lot. And some people think they're a little short and chubby. But basically, if you look in the scriptures, there are four kinds of angels. We see archangels, and archangels come and deliver messages in particular, and they are the highest rank of angels. Michael is an archangel. Gabriel is an archangel. And these came on special occasions, and we see them at Christmas time. We see an angel coming to Mary and ministering to Mary, telling her about the birth of Jesus Christ. We see angels coming to Joseph in his dream. We see angels in Zechariah's life. Some were archangels in declaring the birth of Jesus Christ. But there's another rank of angels, and these angels are called seraphim. Can you say that with me? Seraphim. And they're not little baby angels. They are huge angels. And they're like warrior angels, and they're very protective angels. Then we see cherubim. And cherubim, I think a lot of people get into an attitude, well, these are just little short baby angels, chubby with little fat cheeks, and people put them up on their walls. But a cherubim is a very strong angel, a very big angel, very bold angel, and it's cherubim that were on the mercy seat. And so we see that God has angels that seem to be very much used in his direction of major events on the earth. We see that angels that protect what God wants to do. We see angels that are a part of the presence and the holiness of declaring who God is. And those are the cherubim. But the most common angels that we know about, and probably that Karen shared tonight that happened to her grandmother, are guardian angels. And they are the ones that are sent to minister to the household of faith. And we call them guardian angels, and I'm kind of calling them common angels because they're the largest number of angels. Now, if you look here, it says, do not, under number one, forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels unwittingly or unaware. And so we see that Angels do not just come with wings. They're not always just big. Sometimes they look like very ordinary people, and they are there to minister in a certain circumstance to that person in their life. But as you go on in this, you see that they are called spirits. They're used in the birth of Jesus, guardian angels, wonderful angels that were archangels. We don't see cherubim or seraphim, but we see those two ranks of angels in particular. But now we see that basically they are spirits. And it says they're ministering spirits. Everybody say ministering spirits. So angels can be all around you and you don't see them because you don't see a spirit. They're not manifested always in the flesh. And so that's why we're often not aware of angels being a part of our lives or protecting us or moving in a situation or a circumstance.
See, we may not always see God's angels, but they are always there. It might not be the most obvious thing in the world, you know, a feather lands on top of your head, but God's angels are always there, surrounding you, protecting you. In Psalms, we read that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. There are angels encamped around you. And sometimes the way that we see angelic intervention can be very subtle, very quiet, but it's still there. Throughout the Old Testament, we see large things, but we also see small things. Let me give you an example. One time I was riding in the car and I was the passenger and my friend was driving and we were in this tiny little car and we got absolutely rear-ended, hit really hard in the back by a huge truck. And we were supposed to go flying, right? I was wearing a seatbelt and the seatbelt buckled around my right shoulder, but I felt something hold my left shoulder back. My right shoulder was held back by the seatbelt, but my left shoulder was held back by something I didn't even see. And that holding back saved me from hitting my head on the dashboard. And I believe that was angelic intervention. Maybe you're watching and you've experienced something like that and you have no explanation for it. I want to encourage you to get my grandmother's book, Angels All Around. This is an amazing resource that will help you learn to recognize angelic intervention in your everyday life. The angels of God minister to you every single day, and it's important that we are on the lookout for the angels and the army of God. See, you are special, you are set apart, and God has commanded armies to be there for you, protecting you, looking out for you, intervening on your behalf. So make sure you get the book, call, go on the website, and let's jump right back into today's teaching.
I like this, number two. Because I don't know, this is kind of a funny story to me out of 2 Kings. And those of you watching on television, I don't know if you've even heard sometimes of this unusual incident in the life of Elisha. But in this story, and I'll give you the background of the story, it is hilarious. In this story, the king of Syria hates Israel, and he was always sending his army down against Israel to war with them. But every time they get down there, the Israeli army knows they're coming, and they don't catch them. There are no surprise attacks. And so the king is all nervous. He said, "Who is the spy that's telling on us?" And someone said to him, "There is no spy. We're all faithful. It's Elisha. He knows the things you say in your bedchamber." So he said, "Well, we're going to go down there and get Elisha." So he sends a whole army down, surrounds this little town called Dothan, and this servant of Elisha gets all nervous. And when he looks outside, he said, "Oh, master, look," he said, "look at all of these chariots and look at this army that's surrounding us." And this is what the story says. "And when the servant of the man of God under number two arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, spy master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Were there more for Elisha than against him?" There were more, but were they ministering spirits? They could not see them in the natural. And when Elisha prayed, his little servant saw them. And he saw that there were more that were sent to take care of Elisha than there was of the army of Syria. So we see that we don't always see them at all. Probably most of the time, or many times in our life, we will never even see an angel. But sometimes you're aware of their presence. You're aware of a supernatural support of God in protecting you or taking care of you. I remember one time I was in St. Louis, and we were coming back to the hotel from a service, and a car, we were driving down the highway, and a car came straight toward us. And we began to pray, and we said, "Oh, Jesus, help us." You know how you just spontaneously pray. And all at once, our car was moved over to the opposite side, and that car that would have hit us, we were not in the way. We don't know how the car, our car got on the other side. But I believe big angels like these showed up, showed off, and moved us over. We didn't see the angels, but we sure saw the miracle, and I'm here today because of it. It was a miracle. And so sometimes God can open our eyes, but as I said, most of the time, I doubt that most people are going to literally see the angels that are assigned to them.
Angels are not distant or imaginary. God's word describes them as divine helpers, sent to walk alongside you and bring God's care into your daily life. Marilyn talks about this in her book, Angels All Around. For your gift of $29 or more, this powerful resource reveals how angels move in everyday situations to bring comfort, protection, and breakthrough. You'll also receive the Winning the Battle Everyday book, Desire the Fire CD, and our Dreams and Visions scripture card. And for your gift of $45 or more, we'll add the Star of David Lion Necklace, a beautiful stainless steel pendant with the Lion of Judah at the center, a reminder of God's power and strength. Call or click today to request this special offer and learn how to put your angels to work. Together, we are impacting thousands of lives with the truth, compassion, and power of God's Word. By becoming a partner with Marilyn and Sarah Ministries, you'll share in bringing God's miracles and healing to the sick, experiencing a deep love for the Bible, and taking the gospel to the nations. When you become a $30 a month partner, we'll send you our welcome gift package, which includes the Jehovah Rapha oil vial with oil prayed over by Marilyn and Sarah, the Key to More Miracles book, the Majesty coffee table book featuring beautiful representations of the names of God, and more. Sign up today as an easy gift partner, and we'll also send you the beautiful inheritance devotional. Call or click today to become a partner and help Marilyn, Sarah, and Isabel cover the earth with the word and connect everyone to the heart of God.
Welcome back to Today with Marilyn and Sarah. We're learning all about angels today and how we can see them in our everyday lives. And I want to encourage every person watching, you are not alone. Even when you feel alone, even in those dark moments, there are angels around you who are sent there to minister to you. You are never alone. Maybe you feel like you're under attack. There's all these forces coming at you. You know, scripture talks about the fiery darts of the enemy. But just because you may be under attack doesn't mean you're uncovered. God has angels around you there to protect you. And when you lean into that awareness, when you begin to remind yourself, I'm not alone, I have these people with me, I have these angels, I'm protected, you begin to walk in victory and in more freedom. Let's see what else my grandma has to say about angels.
Now, look at number three. They are created beings. They're not just something that just came out of nowhere. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." So, who created angels? Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Because all things were created by Jesus. Is that true? So he created angels. Now, what were they created for? They were created for him. They were created through him, but they were also created for him. Look at all the angels involved in his birth. Even the shepherds saw an angel the night of his birth. And so we see angels very involved with Jesus. And when we are born again, we invite Jesus into our hearts, then we are the body of Christ and angels are assigned to us. Amen? because we are heirs of salvation. So we begin to see the basis here. They are created beings, but they have a plan and a purpose. They're created by Jesus. They're created for Jesus, and they are created for the body of Christ. Then if you look at the next point here, angels were involved in Satan's rebellion. Who is Satan? Satan was an archangel. Everybody say, Satan was an archangel. Now, what are archangels? What rank? They're the highest rank. He was the highest rank. And at this time, he was called Lucifer. And he was an angel. When you look at all of his description in the Old Testament and in Ezekiel, he had like a whole orchestra inside him. When he opened his mouth to sing, every instrument there was came out of his mouth. He led the worship in heaven of God. But you know what happened to him? He decided, he got very prideful about his ability to worship, very prideful about his beauty, and he said, I will be like God. And he began to try and push himself above God. And when he did, he was cast out of heaven. But all of this angelic choir that he led, one-third of them went with him. And so one-third of the angels followed after Satan, and they fell. But remember, only one-third, everybody say one-third, are more for us, because two-thirds are for us, only one-third are against us. And so we began to see scripture here about how Satan was so involved. And it said, for God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into the darkness, the chains of darkness, to be reserved for judgment. Now, think just for a moment. Think about your angels. Just think, well, God, because I'm sure almost everybody here probably is born again Christian. You have Jesus in your heart. But think about your guardian angels. Everybody say guardian angels. Think about them. Who are they? Who are those? And if you look here at number 5, it says the angels of the Lord encamps around those who, what? Fear him and what? Delivers them. Those angels are encamped around you, but listen, these angels said no to Satan and yes to Jesus. So they will never, never be torn aside and say, oh, you know, worship us. That's why I said, never, never worship an angel. Never pray to an angel. These angels were assigned to worship God. We don't worship them. We join in worship with them to the Father.
You are not alone. Jesus loves you so much. I know in my life, I've struggled with depression, and I was in a depressive season where I felt like there was no one around me and no one could help me. But Jesus revealed to me that he had never left me. You are not alone, Isabel, he said. And that one sentence changed my entire life. And so if you feel alone, if you've never prayed to ask Jesus to come into your heart, or if you have and you want to pray this again, I invite you to pray with me. Say, Jesus, I thank you right now for the opportunity to get to worship you, the opportunity to get to love you. I receive your love. I receive your relationship. I receive your companionship, and I want to be in relationship with you. Jesus, would you come into my heart? Would you be Lord of my life? I submit it all to you. I submit my future. I submit my past and my present. Jesus, I love you. I chase after you. I desire you, and I want you to be my best friend. We thank you and we praise you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Angels are not distant or imaginary. God's word describes them as divine helpers, sent to walk alongside you and bring God's care into your daily life. Marilyn talks about this in her book, Angels All Around. For your gift of $29 or more, this powerful resource reveals how angels move in everyday situations to bring comfort, protection, and breakthrough. You'll also receive the Winning the Battle Everyday book, Desire the Fire CD, and our Dreams and Visions scripture card. And for your gift of $45 or more, we'll add the Star of David Lion Necklace, a beautiful stainless steel pendant with the Lion of Judah at the center, a reminder of God's power and strength. Call or click today to request this special offer and learn how to put your angels to work.
I time to worship God. We don't worship them. We join in worship with them to the Father.
See, angels are not just protectors, right? They do protect us, but they're also worshipers. And it's so interesting how this characteristic of angels can appear even in our everyday life. Because I've known many people who in the middle of worship services and worship sessions, they have seen angels in the room and the angels are singing along with them. And I think that's such a cool thing that even throughout all the ages, the characteristics of angels haven't changed. They worshiped God in the times of the Bible, and they continue to worship God now. And we get to partner with them in worshiping God. You're not alone. You're not alone. You are always protected, but also your worship is joined in with. Your worship has power. When we think about King Jehoshaphat sent his warriors into battle after he sent the worshipers. He sent the worshipers in first because worship is a weapon. If you're going through a dark season, I want to remind you that you can worship. There's power in your worship, and angels join in with you when you worship. Please call or go on the website. We want to pray with you, and we want to help you be encouraged to worship more, to worship with power and with authority. This is a very important teaching, so make sure you listen up, lean in, and really hear what God has for you to hear today.
Now, they are perfect worshipers of God, because they were created by Jesus to worship and to minister to the household of faith. They are worshipers. When Satan fell, he was called Lucifer at that time. When he fell, who's going to lead the worship? Who's going to lead the worship? Who took the place? We don't have another archangel created to take his place. Who took the place of worship? We did. And that's why a lot of times when you're going through a situation, you begin to worship, you come through okay. Am I right? Why is it you like to worship? Some of you really get carried away in a worship service. Some of you say, oh, let's have more worship. Come on. What is that? Because when you get born again, you are created to fill in that place of worship. And so we are made to worship. Everybody say, I'm made to worship. The other day, I was ministering to someone who was going through a really, really hard, hard trial. And I thought, Lord, help me to help these people. There is such a tough time for them in their lives. And I thought about Job. When Job lost his children, he lost his wealth, he lost his health. And then his three friends were so ugly, and his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? But all the way through, you find that Job basically worshiped God. He stayed in what? Worship. When you stay in worship in a trial, you're always going to come out okay. When you keep your heart worshiping, and worship isn't just for church, worship's for the car, right? Worship's for the office. Worship is for work. Because there's something about worship that releases the presence of God into our lives. And I'm telling you, we are the host that God has assigned to worship him. Satan lost it, and we got it. Amen. And so we are worshipers. Everybody say worshipers. Now look at angels. This is why I said never worship an angel. Never pray to an angel because they were assigned to worship God. That's their place. And when John in Revelation 19:10, when he fell at the feet of the angel who brought the revelation, he said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So angels are perfect worshipers. Now, there have been times when I've been in worship services that I felt like you could feel angels in the service. How many of you have ever had that kind of an experience? You got into so much worship. It was just like such a presence of God came. You felt like you were worshiping with angels. Well, you probably were. Because that's the assignment of angels, are to worship him, to minister to us. And so they are really set aside as ministering spirits, worshiping spirits, to worship the Father, to worship Jesus. And right away, they will never, if it's a true angel from the Lord, they will never take worship from you. Because it's Satan that wants worship. Right? Angels rescue us from our folly. Or sometimes just from doing stupid things. And this is Lot. Now, if you remember the story of Lot, Lot, you know, was the nephew of Abraham. His uncle was very good to him. They moved into this area where Sodom and Gomorrah were, which were very, very downhill, bad, sinful cities. And Lot chose the area for his family to live in that was the closest to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham lived up in the hills. And Lot began to get more and more into Sodom and Gomorrah until he became the mayor of it. Bad thing, raise your family in that kind of a situation. Very, very downhill thing. And so Abraham knows, because he has a visitation, an angelic visitation, that Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. And he prays and intercedes that God will spare Lot and his family. So God sends angels to minister to Lot and get them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And when they knock on the door, Lot knows that these are angelic visitors. And so you know the story. It's a real bad thing. The angels tell him, get your family, get out of here. This city is going to be destroyed. And so Lot and his family get out. And then, you know, his wife turns back and becomes a pillar of salt. It's a really, really bad thing for Lot. But he was protected by an angelic visitation. He was not bright enough, it seemed like spiritually, to do the things he should be doing. But those angels came and got him out of there in the nick of time because of the prayers of Abraham. Angels will also try and get you out of trouble.
Now, this was just a very brief look at the truth of what angels are in our everyday lives. It's important that you understand you walk with protection, authority, grace, worship, and a lot of these come from the angelic intervention in your life. I can't even tell you the number of stories of people who have been in car accidents, whose lives have been spared, people who have been directed by angelic messengers and by that sense and that feeling. And there's a lot more information, so I really want to encourage you to get the book Angels All Around. My grandmother has some amazing insights and teaching into what angelic presence looks like in your life every single day. Because once you kind of begin to understand that, you can walk in more peace, more confidence, more understanding. So please call or go on the website. We want to get this book in your hands today. Thank you so much for joining us on Today with Marilyn and Sarah. The subject of angels can sometimes be a complicated one. A lot of people don't really like to talk about it, but angels are all over the Bible. And so it's important that we do talk about them. We do talk about the nature of the angels that God sends into your life to protect you, to uplift you, the different areas where angelic intervention can be happening and you don't even know it. But once you know to begin to look for those things, you begin to walk in peace, you begin to walk in comfort, and you begin to walk with the awareness that you are not alone. So as you begin to pray and understand, please call, go on the website. We want to pray that you would experience angelic intervention and that you would see it in your life and know it every single day.